in there. He learned in Sunday school when he was a kid all the books of the Bible. He could stand on the stage, and we had him to do it. He could stand on the stage and spew out all 66 books. Scott, we may have a test next week. You better brush up, brother. It is good to be in the house of the Lord. It is great to have an opportunity to stand before you and bring God's word to you. We need to be praying for our pastor and all the ones that are out spreading the gospel. We also need to pray for Brother Kevin's wife, Melissa, her family going through some difficult times. Keep them in your prayers. Lift them up in prayer if you would. Jody, the walking thing is a great idea. About a year ago, I went to my doctor for a yearly physical, and she had the nerve to ask me if I exercised. I said, I don't do any of that healthy stuff. Well, she said that I needed to start walking. Well, Debbie has the same doctor, told her to start walking, and we did. We started walking. We've been walking now for almost, it'll be a year in September, I guess. Makes a difference in your weight. Boy, don't I look good, Scott. I can't hold that long. Make a difference in your weight. Blood pressure helps your blood pressure. Helps the way you feel. You actually even feel better. So if you can join Jody on that walk, or if you can't, just walk. Debbie and I just walk in our neighborhood. Just walk. It's good for you. It'll make you feel much better, make you much healthier. I came in this morning. It seems like ever since I got here this morning that the whole service has preached my sermon. When I sit down, Arthur turned around and said, "You ready?" And I said, "That's amazing." Title of the message this morning is, "Are You Ready?" So I guess I might as well just go home. It's already been preached. But anyway, we'll go ahead and go through it, and maybe it'll be a little help to somebody. Again, I'm glad to have the opportunity. I'm glad each and every one of you are here. If there happens to be a visitor here, please come back when our regular pastor is here. You will get a blessing from Brother Kevin. Brother Kevin is a great man of God. And please, please come back and be with us. Hopefully everybody's in Titus. Over in the book of Titus, I want to look in chapter 2. I want to look mainly in verses 11 through 15. If you would, let's look at these verses together. The Bible says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee." Let's pray. Father, I just want to say thank you, Lord, for the service that we've already had. I know I've already felt the presence of your Holy Spirit in this place already. And I pray, Lord, that you would continue to work with each and every soul and every heart in this place today through that power of the Holy Spirit. I pray, Lord, that we would lift that name, that Holy Spirit up here also as we go through this service. We pray, Lord, that you are the most important thing in this whole service today. We pray, Father, that you would lead and guide our lips and our thoughts. And pray, Father, as these words go out into this congregation, that you would touch the hearts that needs to be touched. And just pray, Father, that each and every one of us be better people and better Christians for being in this place today. We do pray for the pastor and all those that are gone on this mission trip. We pray, Father, that they would touch the hearts that you have in mind for them to speak to, and pray, Father, that you'd give them a boldness that they could go out and speak to people and they would also hear the name of Jesus spoken to them. Father, we're going to be careful to honor you and praise you and glorify you because we prayed this prayer in the blessed name of Jesus. Amen. Are you ready? As we look at these verses this morning, the main verse that I wanted us to concentrate on is verse 13. The Bible says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, as the Apostle Paul wrote this letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul was sitting in a prison cell there in Rome, and he couldn't be there. But Titus was there in Crete, and he was left there to talk to the church in Crete. There was a lot of bad things going on there in the church in Crete. They were still carrying a lot of old traditions and things from the Jewish tradition, and there was just a lot of just bad things going on in the church. And Paul wrote this letter to Titus to encourage him and encourage the church. And that's what I want to try to do this morning, is use this message to encourage the church. And Scott touched on this a while ago. The church is not this building, and I've said it before, I'll say it again. And this is just a building. This building is a building. Each one of you that have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you are the church. You are what makes up the church of Jesus Christ. So as Paul wrote this letter to Titus, he was trying to encourage the church. And he was telling the church what we need to be doing while we're waiting on the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to come again. Now, I don't know why, but just seems like lately in the last few months, it's just been heavy on my heart. And I've really been thinking about the time that Jesus is going to come. Now, I'm going to say this, church, it's a lot closer than any of us might think. Amen. It is a lot closer. Now, I know that it's easy to get caught up into thinking that, oh, well, preacher, today is just like yesterday, and tomorrow is probably going to be just like today, and next week, and next month, and next year. Please don't get caught up in that trap. I know that we've probably all heard it, that Jesus is coming. We've probably heard it all of our lives. But I'm going to tell you this, it's closer today than it has been ever before. It's closer today. That is a promise of God that Jesus is going to return. So please don't get caught up into the thought that, oh, well, today and tomorrow and the next day is all going to be the same. One day is going to be different, and Jesus is going to come. Now the question is, are you ready? Are you ready? And that's exactly what I want to talk about just a little bit this morning. Are you ready? Now, there's two kinds of people in this building now under my voice. Now, I realize there's a lot of different folks. There's young folks and there's old folks, men, women, children. There's all different types, but here today, as we listen to this gospel of Jesus Christ, there's only two types of people. There's those that have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ and they're saved and they're on their way to that great and glorious place called heaven, and there's those that have never made that profession yet. So there is those in this room today that are saved and those that are unsaved. Now, I want to talk to both groups, but I want to talk to the saved first. If you're here this morning and you know the Lord Jesus Christ, I want to talk to you about what we should be doing while we're waiting on the Lord Jesus Christ to come back to this world and be ready for him to appear to us all. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us here two different times about the word appear. One of them is appeared, and it's in verse 11, for the grace of God that that brings salvation has appeared. That's already happened. Jesus has already come and he's already appeared before us. He hung on the cross and he appeared. That salvation has appeared to all men. Now, as the Bible used the word men right here, that means it's talking about mankind. It not just talking about a man or a woman. It's talking about mankind. To all mankind, Jesus Christ has appeared to all mankind. That's every single person that's sitting here today. If you have never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, he also appeared. He hung on the cross. He died. He rose again for you. You need to understand that this morning. Then it goes on to talk about his appearing, that we need to be ready for his appearing, right there in verse 13. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So the Bible plainly tells us as Christians, we should be looking for his appearing. He's already appeared once in the flesh. He hung on the cross. He died. He did what God sent him here to do. He died for our sins. He went back to heaven. He ascended back into the glories of heaven. He's on the right hand of the Father. And again, he will appear to all the ones that are ready. The ones that are ready are the ones that have accepted him as Lord and Savior. So what I want to talk to you about this morning is if you have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are looking, and the Apostle Paul tells us we should be looking every single day. As a matter of fact, the Apostle Paul, he was looking for the Lord Jesus Christ to come in his day. He tells us that. Matter of fact, if you got your Bible there and you're looking back up over to the left, go back over to 1 Timothy. Let's see if I can find it real quick. Yes, over in 1 Thessalonians. My mind is working, but my tongue is not keeping up with it, Brother Gene. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul was telling the folks there in Thessalonica, he was telling them they were concerned about what happened to the folks that passed on, the people that had died and passed away in the Lord. And so in this book, he tells them about the ones that have passed away. He says, In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13, he said, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren." He's talking to Christians. He's talking to the church when he says, brethren. He said, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. But you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." The ones that have no hope are the ones that are unsaved. Goes on in verse 14, he said, "But if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him." Let's think about that just for a second. Jesus is coming from heaven back to earth. Now, the Apostle Paul says that if you have a loved one that has passed away, you don't need to worry about them because God knows all about them, and God's going to bring them with him when he comes back. Now, if he's going to bring them with him, whoo, Brother Gene, think about this. If he's going to bring them with him when he comes back, then that means they must already be in heaven. Whoo! That's a promise of God right there. That'd make me want to shout. Let's go on to verse 15. He said, "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep." Now listen to what Paul just said there in verse 15. "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord." The Apostle Paul thought he was going to be alive when the Lord came back. He looked for the Lord to come back every single day of his life. He was looking for the Lord to come. Now, there's a whole message right there, but I'm going to stop right there because I just wanted to make that point, that the Apostle Paul look for the Lord Jesus Christ to come back in his lifetime. And he is encouraging us right here in Titus that each and every one of us here in the 21st century should be looking every single day for the Lord Jesus Christ to come back, because this may be the day. Amen. When is he coming back, preacher? I don't know. Only God knows. Now, I will tell you this. There is a lot of signs that they give us in this book. In the book of Revelation, in the book of Daniel. There's even some in the book of Luke. Prophecy about what's got to take place. And I got to be honest with you, I don't see anything else that's got to take place. I don't see anything else that's holding the Lord Jesus Christ from coming back today. It could happen today. What are we supposed to be doing as Christians as we wait? What are we supposed to be doing? There's a lot of things that the Bible tells us that we should be doing. Let's look right here in verse 12. It says that teaching us that denying ungodliness and world lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. That's some things that we should be doing while we're waiting on the Lord Jesus Christ to return. Folks, if we would just do what it tells us right there in verse 12, there'd be a lot of amazing Christians around. He's telling us that we should live godly. We should live, he says, soberly. That's not just talking about staying sober from too much to drink. That's talking about living a sound life. Sound lifestyle. So we're to live godly and live soundly and live righteously. That's what we're supposed to be doing as we go through this world, waiting on the Lord Jesus Christ to return. That's some of the things that we're supposed to be doing. It says that we're supposed to deny worldly lust. I thought about that as I sat there and trying to figure out a good illustration or a good definition of worldly lust. And here's what I came up with. Anything that we desire more than God is a worldly lust. Amen. Think about that. That could be anything. I think about the young people in this world, and I think about social media. How many hours a day do our children spend on social media? And what that's going to do is that's going to start a lifestyle for those children as they grow up. That's just what they do. I've seen kids sitting close as me and Gene, and they're sitting there texting each other. What? Whatever happened to talking to each other? Whatever happened to... Have you noticed that a lot of children in this world nowadays, when you try to talk with them, they can't look you in the eye? Yeah. I have to believe that's because they're used to doing this and they're not used to speaking directly to you. Yeah. And I don't mean to just get on your kids. I mean, it could be anything. It could be a brand new motorcycle, a brand new boat. It could be anything. That takes us away from the Lord. That's a worldly lust. Anything that's more important in our life than God is a worldly lust. And the Bible tells us to shun those things. We shouldn't be doing those kind of things. Now don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with having a good time. I'm not preaching about not having a good time. Believe me, I love to get out and have a great time. But when it comes between me and... Matter of fact, I was sharing with Arthur just earlier. I love to hunt. It's been in my blood ever since. Whoo, I was that big. I love to hunt. Brother Gene, he's been to some of our wild game dinners we used to have. Boy, we had a great time. If you want to have a great time, nothing blessed me ever anymore. The church that we used to be at, we bunch of us guys, we'd have wild game dinners. We'd have 300 men and boys. Now, in that auditorium, a lot of them never, we'd wear camouflage and the whole thing. A lot of those guys never come to church, but when you tell them, hey, you could win a muzzleloader or a crossbow, hey, something about that, get them in church. Now, let me tell you this. When I'd get them in there, 300 men and boys, oh, we could get down to where the rubber meets the road. We'd talk to them then. Had lots and lots of men and boys come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. But anyway, I got off my point. I love to hunt. But I was telling Brother Arthur, one of the things I used to love to do is go coon hunting. Used to have some red bone coon hounds. Loved to coon hunt. Loved it. And my brother and I, we'd go, they have sanctioned hunts, UKC hunts. I can't explain all of it to you, but it would keep me up all night, Saturday night. Then on Sunday morning, I wasn't able to go to church. And I finally, one day, I said, this has got to stop. I sold my dog, my light, my boxes. I sold it all. Because I saw it was dragging me away from God. Anything that is more important in our lives than God is a worldly lust. We need to shun ourselves from that. The Bible tells us over in the book of James, chapter 4 and verse 4, it said, whosoever is a friend of the world is an enemy of God. The Bible tells us that we cannot serve two masters. We'll love the one and we'll hate the other one. So we need to be careful what we allow in our lives. Church, we need to be about looking for the Lord's return. The Bible also tells us, matter of fact, here in the book of Titus, back over in chapter 2, the Bible tells us a lot of the things that we should be doing as Christians while we're waiting on the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Starting in verse 1, it says, but speak thou. Well, let's back up into chapter 1, verse 15. Look at those last two verses. It says, unto the pure, all things are pure. But unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. But even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God. But in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient and unto every good work reprobates. I'm sure that all of us know folks that claim to know God, but their works don't show it. But I'm not going there. I just wanted you to see that because that is a negative. That's saying some negative things. When you get down into chapter 2, he says, but. Now, when you see that word but, and you've seen some negatives, and he says but, well, now we're going to look at the positives. He says, but, talking to us, he says, speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men, you know who you are, that you be sober. Now again, this is not from strong drink. He's saying that we should be level-headed, sober. We should be level-headed. It's talking about older guys, aged guys. You know who you are. I'm not going to call you out by name, because I'd have put myself in that group. He says, we should be sober and grave and temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. Men, we have a responsibility to the next generation. We should be level-headed. Us aged guys, we should be the ones showing the younger guys how it's supposed to be done, how you're supposed to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. It says that we should be temperate and grave and sound in our faith. We should be anchored in our faith. It says in charity. Now, that could be a couple of different things. You can take it by face value, or a lot of times it says charity in the Bible is talking about love. We should show love. We should also show charity. I'm going to tell you a real quick story. Just last Tuesday, I saw something that some aged guys were showing some charity. Debbie and I, we went off up to Athens, Tennessee, not Athens, Greece, Scott. Athens, Tennessee, to a cattle sale. I got a few cows around the house. I'm getting ready to sell a few of them, and we went up there to kind of check things out. There must have been about 200 old farmers in there. You guys know what I'm talking about. Old farmers got their overalls on and their boots, it's got cow stuff on them. And you know what I'm talking about, just old guys, just a bunch of old guys, must have been a couple of hundred. Well, right in the middle of the sale, the guy that owns the sale barn, Dean Williams, he stops the sale, and some lady gets up there where the auctioneer is, and she starts telling us about a home she's trying to build for children, foster children, because there's a shortage of foster parents. And they're wanting to build a home for foster children to make that transition before they go to their new homes, because it's so traumatic to those children. And when she got through, they took up some money. Now, keep in mind, old aged guys, old farmer guys, couple of hundred, they took up over $11,000. $11,000. Whew, touched my heart. That's what he's talking about. We should live every single day like the Lord's coming back. We should live that way. Us old guys ought to be showing the younger guys how it's supposed to be done. We need to be solid. We need to be sound. Whew, let's go on. The aged women, now I'm not even going to look up, because as sure as I do, after the service, one of them's going to say, "Brother Ed, you looked straight at me when you said that." I'm not even going to look up, Brother Gene. You know who you are. The aged women likewise, woo, that they be in behavior as becomes holiness. We should live a holy life, church. Not false accusers. In other words, don't be slandering people. I'm not looking at anybody. Don't be slandering people's names. Don't be sitting around gossiping. That's not holiness. Not given to much wine. Teachers of good things. Ladies, that's what you should be doing. As aged ladies, as... let's call them experienced ladies. As experienced ladies, you should be teaching good things to the next generation. That's what we're supposed to be doing while we're waiting on the Lord Jesus Christ. Teaching good things. Listen to this, ladies. That they, in verse 4, that they may teach the young women. Here you go, younger ladies. It says that the aged ladies should teach the younger women to be sober. In other words, level-headed, sound in your life. To love their husbands. To love their husbands. To love their children. That's what... ladies, aged ladies, experienced ladies, here's what you need to be doing. This is serious. Here's what you need to be doing. You need to be teaching the next generation to love their husbands. You need to teach the next generation to love their children. You know, it is amazing that we live in a day and time where you even have to say that. Back in the 1940s, 90% of marriages stayed together until that part that says, "Death do we part." 90%. Barely 50% stay together today. Something is wrong, ladies. Maybe we're not teaching younger ladies to love their husbands and love their children. I'm just saying. Goes on in verse 5, and it says, and we should be... ladies, you should be teaching the younger generation to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. I noticed it got real quiet when I said obedient to their husbands. Ladies, that simply means to be faithful to your husband. I could preach a whole series about husbands and wives and families, a whole series, because it's easy for you ladies to be faithful to your husbands when your husbands are doing what God has asked them to do and treat you as the weaker vessel. When I say weaker vessel, I think about one time I was out at, well, I've been there a couple of times out in Wyoming, out there around the Jackson Hole. There's a place out there that you go and you can go, and they do like a wagon train thing, and they feed you on the metal plates and the metal cups. And I think about us men being that old beat up metal cup, Brother Gene. But I think about the ladies being that fine china that you treat with respect and honor, and you cherish that fine china. And men, that's exactly what God is telling us we should do with our wives. We should treat them that way. And when we do that, guess what? Our wives will honor us and be faithful to us. Whole nother message. That was free. It didn't cost you a nickel. Goes on to say in verse 6, young men, the next generation, young men, likewise, exhort to be sober-minded. Sober-minded. What does that mean? That means to be in control of yourself. That means to be level-headed. That means to not get drugged off and just because so-and-so's doing this, that I'm going to go do it. That's not being very sober-minded. You guys are the next generation. You guys are going to be the church as us old guys move on up to heaven. You guys are next. You young guys. You got a responsibility, things that you're supposed to be doing till the Lord comes back. If you've been saved and you're a young man, this is the things you're supposed to be doing till the Lord comes back. You need to be learning from the aged guys. It says in verse 7, in all things show thyself a pattern of good works. A pattern. Your lifestyle. Guys, your lifestyle should show a pattern of good works. The life that you live. When people see you coming, they ought to say, hey, there comes that guy. Boy, he lives a life for Jesus. They ought to know you're a Christian before you ever say a word. Yes. Pattern of good works and doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech. Watch what comes out of your mouth, fellas. Watch what comes out of your mouth. That cannot be condemned, that he that is of contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say about you. All of us has got things that we should be doing while we're waiting on Jesus. We need to be living a godly life. We need to be living a holy life. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15, it says, but as he which has called you to be is holy, so be you holy in all manner of conversation, in all manner of our lives as we wait on the Lord Jesus Christ. We should be holy. Now, folks, let me tell you this. There is no holiness in us on our own. None. Only through God, only through God's Holy Spirit do we show any kind of holiness in this world. And you're going to have to stay up close to the Lord to be able to show his holiness through your life. The Bible tells us over in John 13:34, Jesus said, a new commandment have I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Folks, again, we can't do that on our own. Because when we go down the road, especially now it's got down to where it's down on 153, ooh, you got to pray for me when I go down 153. Somebody cut you off. Ooh. You don't feel very much love for them about that time. If you're not living up close to the Lord, you're going to live like the world. I can tell you that right now. Only through God's Holy Spirit can we do anything that God is asking us to do. Church, if you're saved, God is calling us to show this lost and dying world what we're supposed to be doing. And I got to be honest with you, I feel like we're failing. We're failing. We live in a nation that claims to be Christian, but we're seeing millions of children being slaughtered through abortions. It's just amazing. We live in a nation that now we can't even decide what gender we are. It is amazing. Folks, let me tell you something. Especially you young folks, listen just a second. God did not make a mistake when he made you who you are. When you were born, if you were born a boy, you are a boy. If you were born a girl, you are a girl. He did not make a mistake. We live in a country where what's right we call wrong, and what's wrong we call right. I have to believe that we're not doing too good, church. We all need, you know, if you might say, well, I can't make a difference, preacher. I always think about the guy that walked down the beach and he's looking down there, and there's a guy way down there doing something. He's just making a bunch of motions, and he gets close enough and he sees and he's throwing something, and he gets up there real close, and there's millions of starfish on the beach. And the guy's throwing them back out. And the guy said, what are you doing? He said, I'm trying to save their lives. And he says, there's so many of them, you'll never make a difference. He said, I made a difference in that one. Folks, think about it. Amen. We might not make a big difference in the world, but we'll make a difference in one. And if every single person will do that, we will eventually make a difference in the world. God has given us some things to do, church, while we're waiting on him to come back. He's given us some things to do. Whew, I've took up a lot of time. That's what happens when a preacher don't get to preach very often. You get it all at one time. I've talked to the saved in this church. I want to take just a second. Just a second, I want to talk to the unsaved. If you're in this church this morning, you've never accepted Jesus Christ, I want you to know that every single one of us was in your same position at one point in time. Every single person, when they're born lost. And you have to make that conscious decision to accept the Lord Jesus Christ. If he is dealing with your heart this morning, I would beg you, plead with you, to accept the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not hard to do. All you have to do is put your faith and your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Make him the Lord of your life. It's like the lady was saying there a while ago. Just give it to him. Give your life to Jesus Christ. You'll be in great hands. You'll be in great hands. Because let me tell you this. Jesus Christ is coming back one day. He is coming back. Right now we're under God's grace. God has given us the grace to accept him. He has poured out his grace and his mercy upon us through the Lord Jesus Christ. But the second that Jesus Christ comes back, it's over. And Jesus Christ will come back in the twinkling of an eye. Jesus Christ, when he comes, he will come quickly. Jesus Christ himself says in the last book of this blessed Bible, in the book of Revelation, he tells us over in chapter 22 of Revelation, in verse 7, Jesus Christ said, surely I come quickly. Also in verse 12 of Revelation 22, Jesus said, surely I come quickly. Also in Revelation chapter 22 and verse 20, Jesus said, "Surely I come quickly." Bible says Jesus is coming like a thief in the night. When does a thief come? Right when you least expect it. Jesus is coming. But right now you have an opportunity. God has given you an opportunity this morning to be in this place. Folks, I felt God's Holy Spirit in this place when they were singing. God's Holy Spirit is in this place. Allow God's Holy Spirit to move into your heart through the Lord Jesus Christ. All it takes to be saved is just pray that prayer. Ask God to forgive you of your sins and acknowledge that Jesus Christ is His Son and He sent Him here to die for your sins, and you accept that. That's all there is to it. Scott, would you come this morning and get a song ready?